You're now listening to a Flawless Noises Media Network production.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ratchet Ramblers Podcast, presented to you by Flawless Noises Media. I am one of your hosts. I am Jeremy. My AKA for today is Happy Easter, nigga. And as usual, I'm joined by my friends and my co-hosts.
Hello, motherfuckers. It's me, Candace, not familiar with PC on social media. Glad to be here. My AKA for today is, don't be a diddler. Like, you diddle too far. You diddle dallied. Now you about to be in jail. Amen. As usual, our third amigo is here. Hey, Adrian. Hey, everybody. We back. And I know that, like, the next time we record, we're going to be discussing Quiet on the Set?
Yeah.
Is that the name? Be Quiet on the Set. But before we do that, Potomac had a season finale. And
oh,
a bunch of other what you say?
Fighting on the set.
Hands
throwing hands on the set.
Real Hands of Potomac.
That's the show title. That's the show title. Yeah, text that to me. Real Hands of Potomac. Yes. Real Drunk Drivers of Potomac.
Lock in.
Oh, Karen. I hope you got a plan for coming back.
Real Pink Slips of Potomac. So, I mean, we'll come in big. Fuck it, why not? We'll come in big, and then we'll close out with Summer House. Martha's Vineyard is back. So Real Housewives of Potomac, first things first, we finally see the fight between Kiarna and Deborah. And a few things stood out to me. This was premeditated. She wholly intended to do this, except for I believe she was going to try to physically get into it with Candace. And Kiarna was like, nah, bitch. Ashley knew what she was going to do. That's why Ashley could be heard saying, did the camera stop rolling? Are the cameras rolling? Have we stopped filming? Karen has some really valid points in that Ashley violated everybody's trust by bringing Deborah around, and she knew Deborah had a lot of ill feelings towards Candace, and she still allowed her around them, and it sets a bad precedent that people feel like they can attack these ladies just because they don't care for them or something they said. Candace, yeah. Not LeGrand DUI.
It Jeremy, came to me when I was getting my phone.
Jeremy, Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, he is going to rise tomorrow, so.
He need to. And send that bitch right to AA. And to me, and also, it didn't go unnoticed that Giselle nor Robin felt the need to show up with security because they feared for their safety. Mm-hmm. After somebody attacked one of their cast members, mm-hmm. and, you know, was aggressive and violent, they didn't feel a need for any security, mm-hmm. magically.
Wonder how that works.
They magically did not feel threatened, did not feel their safety was at risk. They did not feel a need for security.
I just find it funny how.
Very interesting.
Because, you know, they was fearing for their lives when Monique and Candace got into the squabble, because it wasn't really even a fight.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
But I just find it funny how now, you know, they just like, they were just standing there like on Nookie Booker just came on in the club. They was chilling.
Yeah. It was a dumbass fight. Deborah came for a fight. Candace did not say anything. That's the other part that pissed me off. People acting as if Candace provoked that or deserved it or she went too low. She didn't say anything to Deborah that was so outlandish and out of order that it warranted Deborah trying to throw a drink in Candace's face and assault her. Like, yeah, you are the help. Yeah, you do look like Cookie Monster. and you in my face trying to be aggressive and have and pop off, and so I'm gonna meet you where the fuck you are. The notion that the darker women on this show should always take the high road, even when other women are being low down and nasty, I'm very, very sick of that theme on this show.
Not only that, but it just, what happened to like I'm not saying that, you know, we need to go back to the old days of like no security and like you know, damn near fights every day. I'm not saying these shows need to be bad girls. Like, but also, like, why? Since when did we get to a point where we always clutching our pearls at insults and, you know, tension and, you know, maybe fisticuffs being thrown and stuff? Like, what? It's like that meme. Am I pussy? Like, are we pussy? Like, have we fallen so far from, I don't want to say grace, but like the grit of reality TV?
Yeah. It feels that way. It feels that way. And I don't want to use words like disheartening or anything like that, because I'm not disheartened, but I feel like I'm tired of people not saying the quiet part out loud. And that's that the colorism is so blaring amongst this group of women that it's hard for them to move on, because the fair-skinned women feel like they are the dominant and the controlling force amongst this friend group. Robin and Giselle have taken not an ounce of accountability for the way things went down between them and Wendy and them and Candace. And the only reason that they were even cordial with Karen is because Karen cares so little, she'll make up with them just to make up with them and keep the show moving forward because she likes to get the check. But yeah. This has all been that Wendy and Candace did not overlook their levels of disrespect the past two seasons. They have refused to apologize. They have refused to be accountable. They have refused to acknowledge how nasty it was to, you know, insinuate that Wendy had any work done to her body or Wendy dressed a certain way because Eddie was cheating on her. And it was a bold-faced lie. Especially coming from the likes of Robin, who is always magically in a state of confusion every time Juan's infidelities are brought up. She know every single detail about that fake ass situation that happened with Chris Bassett and the girl who claimed she was pregnant by him and then later came out and said that she lied. But now when they bring up Juan, I believe Juan. Bitch, you believe your man met up with a stranger danger ass woman and paid for her hotel because she lost her debit card? You really believe that? You truly believe that? Go ahead, Adrian. What were you saying?
Oh, just that she being stupid. You think he did all that and didn't fuck?
Yeah.
I would respect it more so if she just said, I'm not leaving this nigga and we need this check because he's not working.
Or just, I'm not leaving this nigga. Okay.
I'm not leaving him for whatever reason. Hey. Me and Juan have had our issues. We figuring it out, and it is what it is.
Which, speaking of, reports are saying that she is actually leaving and she will not be returning next season. And to that, I tweeted, nothing of value will be lost.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. You know, maybe it'll be formally confirmed by Bravo or Andy or so on and so such. But an all but confirmed rumor has been saying that Robin will not be returning next season, along with Candace, who will not be returning next season. They have allowed Candace to frame it as if she's taking a step back from the show. Everybody has their theories about it. People are saying she wants to divorce Chris in peace. People are saying that her and Chris want to focus on their fertility journey. And then some people are saying that she was fired due to her refusal to reconcile with Giselle and Robin. And I believe it could be a combination of any of the three, honestly. Especially on the heels of Candace making some weird comments like her worst fear is having light-skinned kids. How, baby, you married Powder?
You married Powder?
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's very weird to marry a white man, know what his children look like. He has light-skinned children. I'm not going to even say light-skinned. He has children that look like they're mixed.
Yeah.
They are light enough that they look mixed. So it's just very weird to say some shit like that.
It's weird to say some stuff like that when your main point of contention, and a very fair and valid point of contention, is with the colorism on this show, and then to make something, say something like that is strange, to say the least.
Yeah.
There are other words I could use, but this ain't the Patreon, so I'm showing some restraint.
Yeah. I wish her the best. I think it's a combination of three that she was potentially told, she was not going to be given a contract for next season. And, it is what it is. And they allowed her to make it seem like she's leaving on her own terms. But I don't recall anything grand that Candace is doing aside from her music, which did okay. That will warrant her leaving the show, unless she's trying to take care of some shit in private. So, maybe she does want to, embark on her fertility journey without all the stress and the strain of the cameras being in her face and things like that. Or maybe she do want to finally leave that broke white man. You never know. But we will see. I do feel like she'll be back probably after this next season. I think she'll be back. And I don't think Robin is gone for good either. I just think Andy has gotten so much flack that they have to do a little cash shakeup. But if Ashley not leaving, what's the point?
Yeah.
Because to me, she is the biggest stain on this show. Like, yes, I believe Giselle and Robin contribute to a lot, but they can be, they can be handled. Ashley has been allowed to get away with a whole lot, both her and her husband. He's been allowed to get away with assaulting the cast and the crew, saying really nasty, inappropriate things to the cast and crew. She has been allowed to lie about this goddamn divorce. I don't think there is a divorce. I don't think there will ever be a divorce. I think that she needed a storyline, and he needed some time from behind the camera to try to get his reputation back together, which is why we saw that bullshit lawsuit he tried to file against Candace that, was mm-hmm. dismissed. And I also don't think the money is moneying the way that it used to. So Ashley needs this check. But if Ashley ends up leaving, I'd be very shocked. And on the heels of her, inviting Deborah to this event where one of her cast members was assaulted, well, two of them actually, she threw a drink in Candace's face and she hit Kiana with the glass. That should be a no, there should be zero tolerance for that. Ashley certainly should not receive a champagne glass next season. I'm not a fan, and she hadn't brought anything to the show other than dredging up, really nasty conversations about African culture. Ashley has given us nothing this season. Nothing but forehead and bunions with them badass feet she got. The bitch feet is bad. Yeah, I'm a pass. I want to talk about Mia. So we see a conversation between Mia and Gordon, and let me say this loud and clear. I don't give a fuck about how Gordon feels about Mia cheating on him and so on and so forth, because Gordon cheated on his ex-wife with Mia, and how you get them is oftentimes how you can lose them. So no, I don't have any sympathy, empathy, compassion, or anything of the sort for Gordon. Okay. However, I would like to say it with my whole chest and stand on all the business that there is to stand on. Mia is a fucking scumbag for having their children in the middle of her affair. That's what I want to say, because Gordon stated that the kids come to him talking about, oh, mommy is sleeping with somebody, or is Mr. Inc. replacing mommy, and so on and so forth. It's really weird. So I'm not a fan of that shit Mia is doing. And
I'm not a fan of it, but I'm not surprised either.
No, which I think we're headed in the same direction, Adrian, because Mia doesn't have a good relationship with her mother. And I believe that Mia feels like, well, I'm not exposing my kids to drugs. They're not being neglected. They're not being treated the way my mom treated me.
So ultimately, they're living a good life. But this is another form of dysfunction that your kids will internalize. Your kids should not be exposed to this type of stuff without proper conversations. You have a due diligence as a parent to sit your children down and figure out a way to explain to them why their family dynamic is changing and what's what. No, your younger children should not be walking in and seeing another man laying in your bed talking about, is he replacing daddy? For a woman who is a sex worker, you should certainly understand the rules of engagement. And putting your children in the middle of shit like that is not healthy. I just wanted to get that off my chest because it rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, me it just strikes me as somebody that needs somebody or she crashes out over dick.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. Yeah. Jeremy, you want to talk to us about LeGrand DUI?
Well, if you have been under a rock, it was reported that Miss Karen LeGrand Dame, she was arrested and charged with the DUI. Was it what, Saturday? Like this past Saturday? Not this past Saturday, but
It's been
and
within the last week.
yeah, it's been
I
within the
know that
last
much.
week. And like it's not funny because obviously, drinking, like drunk driving is very serious. It can lead to, fatal instances and stuff. So it's not a laughing matter. But Karen, what in the hell is you doing at your very big age? Drunk driving and getting a DUI. Like what, huh? Probably coming from your side chick. Well, not just, well, it might be side chick. I don't know. It's coming from your side piece with whatever arrangement you already got.
The thing that has rubbed me wrong about this is that Karen can afford a driver. Not only was she driving drunk, Karen was driving on the registration on her vehicle was not valid.
Yeah.
You are a millionaire by all means, and flaunt it, and remind the women on that show how you are the grand dame because you are the only one.
Yeah.
That really comes from money.
Yeah.
So, by all means, there was no reason for Karen to be drinking and driving. She absolutely could afford a driver. And I just think it's wholly irresponsible, to engage in that type of behavior at 60 years old.
No, I agree. It was very disappointing. It was, again, like you were saying, especially for like how Karen, I don't even want to say carries herself, but presents the way that she carries herself.
Yeah, it was very stupid
And then,
and
like, you already know, like, Giselle, and I saw somebody say that Charisse was moving her shoulders, just foaming at the mouth to say something.
well, because Therese told us Karen wasn't nothing but a local drunk.
True.
They finna turn Karen every which way but loose next season,
unless she
I
come in
know.
with a good strategy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Which, I mean, to be fair, it's not that hard to like outwit these ladies, to be fair. So it's not an impossible task.
It's around Easter. Easter brings up memory of me and my parents, so it was a hard time for me during that time. So, I've had my issues with alcohol in the past, and I succumb to them, and
I made
I
a
was one,
terrible decision.
yes, terrible lapse in judgment. And it let me know that I needed to go do XYZ, whatever her treatment program is. That's
I
the
was
only
gonna
way.
say, yeah, that's the only
And
way. She got to go to rehab.
then come out, because then every time somebody wants to talk about it after she has initial things, you're triggering me now. I came to you, I told you what was going on at that time, and to keep pressing this is triggering me now. And so it makes me feel like this isn't about me and my health, but about you poking fun and piling on to me.
Look at our legal counsel. Come the fuck on. Let's go. But
But if she don't
she
do anything, oh bitch, they gonna eat you alive.
they're gonna eat her alive.
Eat you
And
alive.
honestly, she should want to do something out just outside of this show. But you are a 60-year-old woman who is getting so distraught that you are driving under the influence. And not even trying to be funny,
But as you get older, your faculties are not nearly as sharp as they once were. That's just a part of aging and getting older.
Yeah.
You got something going on and you need to get a handle on it.
Yeah, true. No, like real talk.
Because... You need to get a handle on it. You need to get some help. Not just to save face on the show, but to get some help for yourself. Because the next incident could be detrimental. It could claim your life or somebody else's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was very disappointed to see that. And I also hope that when the season rolls around, that Karen is in a position to be accountable, because that's going to make a world of difference too. Like, when she gets in front of those women and it's brought up, because it's going to get brought up. It's going to be brought up.
Yep.
She, a part of her not allowing those women to have power over her through that situation is going to be saying, like Adrian said, I fucked up. I made a terrible mistake, a mistake that could have cost me my life and innocent people on the road their lives. I acknowledge that I do need help. I've been running from it for a long time, but this situation really brought to light that I need some help and I need to get a hold on my grief and my mourning, my parents, and I need to figure this out so that I'll never put myself or anybody else in this situation again. But she's going to have to hold herself accountable, and she should. This shouldn't be glossed over, because, you know, to me, I loathe drunk drivers. I'll be honest. Like, I don't even want to be friends with people I know be getting behind the wheel of a car drunk. So that's just one of my big don't do that no more. But I do am glad that Karen walked away from it unharmed. I'm glad that nobody else was hurt or harmed in that situation. And I certainly do hope that she gets some help to figure out what's what behind whatever mental things have triggered her to make that kind of a decision. Bold and Bougie.
I don't like Gaucher.
You don't like Ghost? What's her name? Gaucher.
Yeah. I believe. It don't curl all the way over for me. And it's not that I'm even a fan of Tamika either. It's just something with Gaucher. I don't know what it is. And I need everybody to stop trying to force Miss Princess or Producer Princess to be who she isn't. If she's not a rah-rah, confrontational, I'm going to argue right here, right now person, stop trying to make her that, and then stop trying to portray her like she's weak because she doesn't handle situations like you do.
Or like you want her to.
Yes, because you're going to end up gassing her up to make a fool
into
of
into an ass-whipping.
Yes. And then it'll make a fool of herself because I'm not even that person. So I did this to show off for y'all.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Like you said, I don't care for Tamika. I don't care for people in general who have a mentality like, I said what I said. I don't care if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I believe those type of people do not have a teachable spirit. And typically when you don't have a teachable spirit, it's very hard for you to... be accountable, be likable, and recover from mistakes. And so that's what I figured out watching this show. That's what I don't like about Tamika, is that she has that type of, well, if I said it, I meant it, whether I'm right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm standing on that. And it's like, it's okay to fall back and say, you know what, I was wrong about that. And I need to get how I think about this or how I handle this together. She doesn't do that.
No.
This whole drag brunch thing, she was very weird about it. But I think it's also because she don't like Gaucher either. Like, and that's fine. Everybody not going to mix all the time. You could try your damnedest to mix your friend groups together and have everybody get along. But the reality of it is all different personalities are not going to always mesh well together. And I just don't think her and Gaucher, I don't think she cares for Gaucher. So anything pertaining to Gaucher, she don't really want nothing to do with it. And so I do not necessarily think her not wanting to be at the drag brunch was about her being homophobic or hating drag. I just think she don't want to be there because she don't like Gaucher and she don't want to be bothered. But she should just say that. Girl, it ain't about the drag brunch. I don't like you. Because that's how it comes off across to me. She just don't, she don't like Gaucher, and that's fine. I don't really care for Gaucher either. But yeah, I'm with you, Adrian. Something about Gaucher just don't curl all the way over. And I don't know, I just haven't connected with her. We, what, 7, 8 episodes in?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sadly, but I don't know if it was true or confirmed. I looked on Carlos King page, but it looks like it hasn't been picked up for a second season. And I think that's a matter of the spot it's on. Like, I'll be honest, it come on what, Thursdays?
Oh, I don't know, because I stream it through all Black after it
ends. Yeah, so. Like, I just think that it's time slot worked against it. Kind of being on WeTV, who's not currently a power player in reality TV anymore. I think that worked against this show. And we talked about that early on when we started watching it. Like, yeah, it's in a terrible time slot. Thursdays at 9 or some shit like that. Thursdays at 8 on WeTV. When That's the only reality show currently coming on WeTV at the time. Like, of that type, should I say. I mean, You got the Friday lineup, but other than that, WeTV kind of rested its laurels on Love After Lockup and stuff now. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, didn't understand why they didn't try to get it on maybe Thursdays on OWN. But again, that would take really knowing the ins and outs of the business and how this works to really say that. But I just didn't think WeTV was a good fit for a show, especially when it's from a producer whose main and bread and butter shows are on OWN and have primetime reality TV slots, Fridays and Saturdays. You know, Sundays belong to Bravo. We know that. But, you know, so I felt like it could have been put on a Thursday on OWN. So I just wonder how that happened. And subsequently, it won't be coming back. And I wouldn't have minded a second season. Like, I feel like first seasons, you get to figure out who do and don't like each other, and then you could build off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe Carlos is working to get it picked up, you know, somewhere else. Maybe get it picked up by OWN and, you know, do a little 1-2 step with it over there. But yeah, I'm not a fan of Gaucher. I do wish Princess was more confident in saying, I ain't no rowdy ass bitch. I ain't finna be doing all this fighting and screaming. I could just, I can disengage and not be bothered, period. Cause that's the type of person Princess seems to be. She just shut down and she disengaged and that's it. Conversation and then over.
She addresses it when she wants to address it and how she wants to address it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Which is funny that they are trying to put that battery in her back when Malaysia is kind of a coward who ran off of a whole goddamn show. Because she was being faced with confrontation that she couldn't handle. Just saying. Well, I ain't never seen nobody 1-2 step off Basketball wise as fast as Malaysia did when it was found out that house was in foreclosure. Mm. She wasn't knucking and bucking in. So this expectation that Princess should be knucking and bucking and ready to fight is crazy. Be who you are, Miss Mamas. Don't let nobody put a battery in your back and gas you into getting beat the hell up.
Mm-mm. Because that's 2 L's. That is. I didn't even want to fight you, but I let you beat up to fight you. That's 2 L's.
For sure. You definitely would go from a princess to a pauper.
Quick.
Yeah.
From princess to pawn. You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. Hate to see it. Love and Marriage DC. I don't know, child. I don't know.
It's hard to be excited about it because it's so much shit going on. This is from over a year ago. Like, it's just so much going on. It don't hold my interest.
It's not been holding my interest because the footage is so old.
It's so old and we have stuff going on in real, you know,
in real time. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, it's hard to connect to it. I think one of the things that saved Married to Medicine this season is that the stuff that was happening in real time kind of coincided with what was going on when they filmed.
Yeah.
This stuff, like these beefs and these, you know, issues and these friendships and relationships are being dredged up because they're sitting here watching almost 2-year-old footage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Winter not even with that nigga she went on the trip with. They done fell out. They done big fell out. Winter in a whole nother relationship at this point, on vacations and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Quick and Ashley got stuff going on. Jamie and Randy, like, all this stuff is so old that we don't even know what the status of these actual friendships are at this point.
If they even still no
friendships. And it's no point in digging into it.
Yeah.
This is, again, said it and I'll say it again. This is another one of those situations where Carlos King dropped the ball because, in my opinion, he's too fixated on anything Bravo that some of his own shows are falling by the wayside.
Yep.
If I'm to be honest, some of his shows are falling by the wayside. So, you know, we're getting these shows with these constant mid-season breaks. That's annoying. I'm mm-hmm. all for a week or two off in the middle of the season, but every show on OWN takes a mid-season break that's like 2-3 months. It's giving the money is funny. Because he does it with angle. Yeah, he does it with Love and Marriage Huntsville, did it with Love and Marriage DC, did it with Bell Collective, like, you know, coming back to and calling the season part two of the season, it's giving something with the finances ain't financing. And I think that the Love and Marriage DC cast is a really solid cast. But it don't matter how solid a cast is, trying to show the viewers footage that's almost 2 years old is fucking weird.
Exactly. Extremely weird.
This is all drama from a Christmas party that happened in 2022.
It is 2024, my nigga. Easter is tomorrow as we recording this.
So, you know, it's hard to get excited. I do like Quick and Ashley. I don't really care for Jamie. But you're going to always have a person you can't stand on these type of shows. I think Jamie and Arena are good in that position. She's likable. He's unlikable. So you can find a middle ground with them. I like Winter added into this show. I like this cast once Monique and Chris left, if I'm to be honest.
Yeah.
However, you can't, a cast can't save a show where they're showing us footage from 2022. In 2023, and we knee deep in 2024. We're not even at the top of 2024. We're heading into April. We're more than a quarter of the way into the year. So, yeah, no, it's hard to be excited. I'm just keeping it around because I want to see the reunion, and I want to see what will be revealed about a lot of the shit that went down. So it's just kind of like a placeholder. But what's not a placeholder is Summer House Martha's Vineyard is back.
Baby.
We back and we ain't got no stylist. Thank God.
Happy deployment. I mean, well, I don't know what you say. So be blessed in your deployment. Okay. I wanted to find a softer way to say that, but that was kind of the sentiment that I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it back to your wife and your baby. Soon-to-be child. Yeah, your baby. So that worked out in our favor. Thank you for your service, first off. Thank you for your service to our country. And thank you for not being on our TV screens for this, is what I want to say. Alex and Summer. We'll get into that. Alex and mm-hmm. Summer. His little funny looking ass is a weirdo.
I feel like
he's gaslighting Summer.
No, I don't. Now that I don't think he's gaslighting. Alex is a fuckboy. He's a fuckboy who meditates and eats kale. That's all he is. But from what both of them are saying, so I'm basing on both their conversations, they would hook up when they were in each other's city. They eventually had sex. And it sounds like Summer started getting weird. Because it is a little bit weird for you to take a picture of me and I'm not like, and I don't know about it. And then you're sending it to Jordan. That is weird. So I think he was fine with, okay, we just kick it. I come to LA, blow your back out. You come to New York, I'll see you blow your back out. He was fine with that. I believe he expressed that to her. Yeah. And it's, And she's trying to play it cool when, baby, if you're not built for casual sex, and that is fine. There are people that are not built for casual sex like that. You needed to stand in that truth instead of doing what you did. But I found it very, very funny because last season he was worried about Shanice being a bunny boiler, and it looked like Summer was sitting right there for it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember how Summer played the Shanice situation, but I kind of feel like she had a little air of like she was above it.
Agreed.
But don't quote me on that, but I feel like that's what it was. And he doesn't view you any differently than Shanice right now at this point.
Right. Agreed. Okay. What, Bria and Preston, is Preston being a little weird to you?
Yes, but I give him grace because his father died and he's in a weird place.
Okay, fair. Very fair.
But I think he was absolutely right at that dinner table. Like, what the fuck is happening? So I think he was absolutely right there. I don't know how Bria took that to mean something towards her, but I'm glad that she was able to remove herself and kind of check herself. And I think in that moment, she also was giving him grace. Because I think if this was last season, Bria, this would have been a bigger thing than it really was. But I think she knows what space he's in and recognized that it was a miscommunication between them.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that. I do. I acknowledge that death could changes your mind state and how you handle things, how you handle people. And so... yeah, I'm gonna give it several episodes to just see how this plays out. But yeah, I was like, okay. And yeah, Bria is a bit dramatic still.
Yeah, she is. She definitely
drags it a little bit. Speaking of dragging it, baby, get Jordan the fuck out of here.
Okay. And they all sometimes do this. I don't like what I call it therapy speak. Instead of being like, I feel like you were being fake, it's I don't feel like you were being authentic with me. And it was an authentic moment, an authentic feeling. If I hear authentic one more motherfucking time, I swear to God.
Lock in, Asia. Lock in.
I swear to God. It's all this fluffy, soft language. Because even Summer was doing it at the table with Alex. Oh, well, that's not my perception of the events. And maybe our perceptions are just different. And I couldn't take it. But Jordan is insufferable. It's like she takes herself too seriously. And I kind of get why. But she's acting like she's the only person to ever be pretty.
Not only that, if we are to have an honest conversation about Jasmine, it's that yes, in that first season as a newly married woman, who honestly, we could be honest, Jasmine married Silas out of, you know, fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
Okay. She was homeless. She was trying to figure out her career path and a few other things. And it probably played a huge part into her marriage to Silas, okay? However, and getting married, and people think like, okay, we've been together, married, you know, now we just get married and things. Attitudes and personalities can change once you're married to somebody and you've got to adjust. So while certainly I understand last season why they felt like she wasn't being who she was, they never really gave her a little bit of grace to say that, yeah, things about you change when you go from being a single party girl to a married woman, especially to somebody in the military. Mm-hmm. And the way that we saw Jasmine on that first season did not shock me, just based on how strict the military can be. This is the same military that you'll be dishonorably discharged if it's found out you cheated on your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen instances of that happening before. Like, the wife will turn the husband in for cheating and he'll be kicked out the military.
Mm-hmm. Or has some type of punishment. Same thing with child support.
Yeah. So it didn't shock me that Jasmine behaved the way that she did last season. Her and Silas had to, you know, put on a certain face.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. So, but now, and I do believe she's pregnant. She's not drinking in this first episode, so she's already pregnant. I just feel like Jordan was being, she was being rude, and she was really playing into it. Like, she was really putting 10 on 2. You weren't being authentic, and you weren't, it was like, give it a break.
And I didn't know if I could trust that person. It's like, say, a simple, you were different last season, and so that was a little off-putting and disorienting for me.
Yeah.
She was speaking like someone who just learned a lot of words on Twitter and trying to use them for the first time.
They all speak like that. They all do.
It's that weird, it's those weird blavity blacks.
Yeah.
It's those weird blavity blacks. They
I got my degree, like, but I knuck if I buck. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
We are not our grandparents. These hands do raise. Like, what?
The ones that looked at the Good Times trailer saw nothing wrong.
Yeah. I just feel like...
I know, Adrian. I know.
I just... Yes, enough.
Look, one of us had to reference it.
Nah. It's too much. It's too much. But Jordan, I really wasn't fond of Jordan last season, I'm going to be honest. She had good points here and there, and I could understand how she felt in certain situations, but she's always, like, just so, she takes herself very seriously. Very, very seriously.
She takes herself very seriously, and she feels like Jasmine owes her something. And I get that when y'all were single and partying it up together, and y'all were friends, and y'all were, you know, having y'all best hot girl summer, and Jasmine changed the dynamic of that by getting with Silas and marrying him pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But get over it, because this seems really personal. Like, she fucked up a good time.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that feels like.
But just say it. Hey, we have stuff, and we don't want it to be, you just don't invite, it was a single person's trip. Like, with, I just feel like it's an easier way to have had the conversation that she's having with Jasmine.
No, you're absolutely, it's definitely easier ways. But again, it was given, I learned some of these words from a Twitter thread, and now I want to use them.
Yes. And that's how I want to feel. And it's just like, okay, whatever, girl. Because I didn't like the little comment with them in the kitchen about Amir's girlfriend. And, oh, she was standoffish. And don't nobody want her man. Gag is, he wanted me. It's like...
It is. It's given... For a long time, I've been used to being the prettiest woman in the room. And now I can't handle it that these men are paying me dust. Because they were sweating her last season, as we saw. And they were all, oh, who gonna get with her first? Who gonna bag her first? And now this season, they don't care. They like, okay. I mean,
you didn't want to bother. We were approaching you about your look. Yes. And it's like she wants to be wanted but not wanted all at the same time. And it's just it's just weird. It's just really,
to be honest, it feels like she wants to be able to turn these guys down. When she wants to kind of be able to, you know, reject them, and they keep coming back for more. Like, she wants them to sweat her. Mm-hmm. And this season, they're like, okay, you don't want to be bothered with us? You said none of us tickled your fancy? Okay, we leave you the hell alone. And it's not good enough.
Mm-mm. It's not.
Yeah, I feel like she's coming in really hot this season, and, it's not going to fare well for her, especially in trying to ice Jasmine out of a friend group she put together.
Crazy.
So,
I like Noelle. I think Noelle is a good addition to the show.
I do too.
I love a little boozy, AKA Southern auntie. I love it.
Yeah, I do like her as an addition to the show.
But I do wonder if it's gonna be a problem because Summer tried to downplay her thing with Alex to Noelle and basically like, oh, well, you can go for it. We just dated, but it wasn't anything and you can go for it. So I wonder if she really is, and I wonder how that's gonna fare.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Because yeah. I almost feel like the whole you didn't invite the person that you've been inside of, I almost feel like that was for Noelle.
It definitely was for Noelle.
And for just so everybody can know. Yeah, I that's how I feel about it. But Summer, you played yourself in that. You played yourself. And Alex, yeah. you were being a liar, and I wish she just would have called you. Like, you're lying. You just didn't want us there. This was probably, if we put together the timeline, this was probably after they slept together and he felt like she got weird and yep. he didn't want her there in his space where I'm sure there are other women that he's flirting with or just mingling with, and he didn't want her there for that.
Agreed.
And just agreed. Stand in that. But also Summer called him a liar. Like, no, that's impossible. You're lying. But this, oh, well, you just must perceive the situation differently. No, bitch, he's lying. If you feel like he's lying, call him a liar.
Stand on business.
10 toes.
Exactly. It's like, just own it. Because who can whoop your ass about it?
True.
Nobody there. We've all done it. Been dumb. With a fuck boy. It's okay, Summer. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a certain level of embarrassment for her because I'm not supposed to be one of those kind of girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not supposed to be treated like a Shanine.
Mm-hmm.
Lock
in, Adrian. Lock in.
Meanwhile, low key, if Alex wanted to do the little casual sex thing, I really think Shanice would have been his girl. Because yeah. she seems very go with the flow. It is what it is. And if you would have had the conversation, oh, it is what it is. When we see each other, we see each other. But no, you was afraid she was a bunny boiler, which she might have been. But now you have this whole different situation with Summer.
Yep, agreed. I like the way that this new season is starting out.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I like the way the cast is gelling together.
Mm.
And I feel like we're gonna get good mess.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a good addition to our lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we liked the first season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, just overall.
Yeah, so I'm absolutely looking forward to this season, especially with no Silas. I would like to get to know Jasmine when she's not in a place where she has to. Keep up appearances because Silas is there.
Yeah.
But so, also with her being pregnant and this is still going to be on TV. I don't know if we still get the full breath of Jasmine.
Yeah, so, I don't think we're going to ever get party girl Jasmine because I think that phase of who she is, I won't say over because just because you're married doesn't mean you can't enjoy a good night out and a 1-2 step. But I just think that we'll get, hopefully we get this. Yeah. And I wouldn't mind getting to see Jasmine, even in this phase of like navigating pregnancy and, you know, your friendships are going to be changing because you're the friend who's going to have a kid and they won't.
I do think she'll be a bit more free because one of the issues last season was that one, I mean, we clocked that Silas is very controlling. And then also he was literally there, but now that nigga gone, that cracker gone. Like, I do feel like she might be more open as much as she can be as she navigates the pregnancy.
Oh, yeah, I think so too. And I mean, like I said, I'm looking forward to it because this is a very real part of, you know, navigating when your season in life changes and it no longer aligns with the other people in your life. Like, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. she's gonna be the first one in this friend group to have a child that we know of. I don't know what's everybody else.
The Jason. What's his name? Jason from last season. He had a kid and they were friends. Okay. So that was about it. And he didn't sound like a custodial parent. So
So
I really hope her and Silas sat on a lady's couch and really did some work, because I didn't like a lot of things about Silas, but definitely that whole rant about the covering of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what it'll be without this covering of marriage. Like, that was a little scary to hear.
Yeah.
And then to then bring a child into that. So I hope that they really sat and did some good work.
I agree.
Hopefully.
I feel like they didn't, but hopefully.
I mean, for Jasmine's sake, if nothing else.
Yeah. Because if stuff not going right, she's going to need this friend group.
Yeah.
And need them to be genuine with her.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And, you know, I'll be honest, they should be tasked with being honest with Jasmine if they cannot be a support group, a supportive friend group to her. I think they should be called to the carpet. Because again, we already are experiencing Jordan trying to ice her out of this group. And that...
Nasty work.
I don't know. I feel like one of the precedents that I hate that Andy has set, and nobody will admit it, but we have seen it happen across several shows. I hate the precedent that these cast members can try to ice people out when they want to. That should be an absolute no-no. And, you know, the only decisions about casting should come from production and you know, Andy.
I think the icing out that Jasmine is feeling is even worse than on other shows, because these are her like
real friends.
Like we've worked together for this many years. I think her feeling iced out is completely different and goes beyond just we're cast members.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And even then, like, that's why I say, like, I feel like we got to start having honest conversations about how Andy lets stuff go on until it explodes. Because when he noticed, because this is the Andy show, right?
I don't know.
Is Summer House an Andy show?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm not sure. So maybe I won't say Andy, but whoever is over the Summer House series, when they see stuff like this happening, like, they should nip it in the bud really quickly. Like, hey, if you're trying to get the group to ice out one person, ultimately you're going to be the person we end up sending home.
Yeah. No, I agree. There should be some separation of, okay, you are the cast member and we are production.
Yeah. And they've allowed it to happen for so long within the Bravo sphere. Outside of just Housewives, I mean, I've watched Shies of Sunset and, you know, was it Southern Charm, something like that. And once you allow that to happen, it'll continue to happen.
But then it also becomes how much control can you have over your cast when we're not filming?
Right.
So if this is my nine, like, I understand if we have this, there's 3 months that we're filming or whatever. And so any events that you have in that 3 month period, you have to invite the cast to, because we're filming. But after that 3 months, I'm off the clock. So if I'm not vibing with you and we all say, hey, I want to go on this trip, I don't think that's something that production should step into. I think how it's being handled now is almost the best that it can be, because it's like, well, this happened outside of production, outside of the show. Like, this was just a natural thing that happened in this friendship. I don't think Jordan has in her mind that, oh, we're gonna ice her out. I think everyone was like, okay, it was a lot being on a trip with Jasmine and her husband. It would be rude to just be like, hey, Jasmine, we just want you to come on this trip and we have someone like Preston or Alex or someone else is coming. So you wouldn't be able to say, we want you here, but not your husband. So if I don't want to be around your husband, I'm just not going to invite you. And I'm sorry about that.
and I would be able and willing to have a conversation with you, but I don't think production should meddle with that portion of things, because that seems really more natural and flowy. It's natural for maybe you introduce your friend to another person you're friend with, you're friends with, or your acquaintances, and they, for whatever reason, build their own relationship outside of you. It happens all the time in friendship.
Right.
So I don't think, yeah, so I don't think at this point it's a strategic icing Jasmine out like we see on other shows. I think it's just, girl, I wasn't fooling with you.
Yeah.
I was rocking with these people I made this connection with. We're all going to go on this trip and you just, we're just not going to invite you. Like, sorry.
It just, it looks bad. It looks bad.
Yeah, it looks bad, but I think it's, I think it's natural. And because it's natural and not production dipping their hand and playing around in it, I'm more willing to watch and see how it plays out.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Well, we are going to, we're going to hang around and watch how it plays out.
True. Lock in.
Because I am interested to see how the group will take the news of Jasmine's pregnancy. I'm wanting to see if she can reconnect with her friend while, you know, Silas is not around. And what does that mean that they, she can only connect with them when he's not in the picture versus when he is? Like you said, Adrian, there's a lot of organic moving pieces at play here that I believe will make for a good season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. With that said, though, we hope y'all have a happy Easter.
Be safe.
You know.
Be good.
Be good.
He is arisen.
Don't be stupid. Don't get no DUIs.
Mm-mm. Stand on business.
Stand on motherfucking business.
Yeah. But we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be starting quiet on the set. We'll be talking about the beginning of part one of this reunion. We'll be checking in on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. And yeah, that's it for us. I gotta find the record button. Oh, here we go. Yeah, we out, y'all, for real this time. Bye.
Bye, y'all.